support for PRI's The World comes from Medtronic, helping build more resilient communities by supporting the American Red Cross so it can be ready to provide assistance whenever and wherever disasters occur. Learn how you can make a difference at AmericanRedCross.org.
I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. Syria is more than 5,000 miles from the east coast of the U.S., and while the war there may seem distant to many of us, it's not that way for all Americans. Take one young man, a U.S. citizen, who went by the alias Abu Huraya al-Amriki. For him, the war to topple the regime of Bashar al-Assad was apparently important enough to lay his life on the line. He allegedly traveled to Syria to fight with an al-Qaeda-backed group called the Nusra Front, and on Sunday, this American reportedly carried out a suicide bombing in Syria. That's according to U.S. officials, who will not speak on the record about the case. Aaron Baker, Time Magazine's Middle East bureau chief, is following the story.
What we're seeing from the Nusra Front and various other jihadi groups in Syria, they are tweeting that an American, the first American suicide bomber, was effective in a suicide attack on Sunday in Idlib. What we don't know is if he was American-born, naturalized, where he came from. He's a real mystery.
And no sense of how he was radicalized?
No, but, you know, what's happening now? There's an estimated 70 or so Americans fighting in Syria right now and a couple hundred Europeans, Brits. What's happening is a lot of them go over because they feel that they need to help. They're probably Muslim to begin with. They feel like they want to do something to help their brethren. And once they're there, they're easily sucked into some of the more extremist radical groups because those groups are the best organized and more open to foreigners. And that's where the radicalization process happens, is once they're already in Syria.
All of these foreign fighters, they're all fighting against Bashar al-Assad?
I actually was just in Syria and met in the city of Homs an American straight from my hometown in California who was fighting for Assad. So, yes, there are some exceptions, but I think they're very rare.
Wow. So somebody from your hometown.
Fighting for Assad, yes. It was a very surreal accent to be hearing as I walked down a completely bombed out city. It was very bizarre.
As for this suicide bombing on Sunday, apparently there is a video online recording the attack.
A couple of clips spliced together, so we can't be certain that it's accurate. Again, this stuff is very hard to verify. But what you're seeing is a couple of men loading shells into a large truck. And then the next scene cuts to the truck driving off. So it's barreling down a highway. And then the next shot you see is from a distance, a fortress type city and in the distance, and then all of a sudden a blinding flash of light and a pillar of smoke and people going Allah Akbar, praise to God, and celebration.
What has been kind of general reaction from other jihadists? Would they feel triumphant that they've essentially flipped an American?
Absolutely. You're seeing this sense of triumph in social media. They're saying that he was accepted by God as a martyr. And they're very vocally claiming that they have an American, the first American. They keep repeating that. And it's quite a coup for them.
I mean, the fact that this was an American suicide bomber in Syria raises all sorts of kind of frightening scenarios, frankly.
Well, the big fear now is that you'll have some people going with the intention of perhaps blowing themselves up in Syria to further the cause, but who may have been talked into changing their focus and returning to America to attack U.S. sites.
You know, we heard about White House plans for a counterterrorism force, a small fleet-footed force, and some of that help is going to go to Syria. How's this going to complicate those plans if the U.S. is trying to both arm the rebels and some of those rebels might be Americans who want to freelance their own kind of violence?
It does create quite a conundrum of whether or not the rebels should be armed, and if so, how.
Aaron Baker, Middle East Bureau Chief for Time Magazine. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Marco.